News.
My guest for today's one-on-one is Tom Zahn, an American who's been living in Prague for most of the last 15 years, and who has, during his time in the capital, been specialising in a somewhat unusual trade. Tom runs a firm called Pathfinders, which tracks down clients' long-lost Czech and Slovak relatives, and in many cases reintroduces both parties. When I met Tom in his office overlooking Prague's Vyšehrad fortress, he told me when his interest in Prague and genealogy was born.
Originally, I decided to come to Prague after hearing Václav Havel speak in the United States to our Congress. But it was not just his speech, it was what happened before his speech, and that was apparently he had only had some notes that he had scribbled on or he had written out in his own hand, and he hadn't followed the protocol in Washington, which was to deliver a copy of the speech to the different press secretaries for the different senators and congressmen. So on the West Coast, this was already big news on NPR radio. I paid attention to the speech then, and I thought, wow, this is not normal. A person saying, if you want to help us, help Russia. And in fact, I found that speech to be quite brilliant. So I decided in 1990 that I would like to come here without knowing anything further about the country. It was only 2 years later when I finally had saved up enough money and I was preparing to come, that my employer at the time asked if I'd ever done any genealogy. I went to Salt Lake City with my employer almost a month before coming here, and we found solid evidence where the family was from in East Slovakia and Western Ukraine. And so I came here with something in my hand of interest. And also my father, after I'd been to the archives, he gave me some outlines of his family and the fact that the spelling may have changed. Instead of Z-A-H-N, it was C-Z-A-N. It was, for me, a very poignant thing, though, because while I was here on my first visit, my father passed away. And that gave my purpose in doing the genealogy that much more meaning to me.
What gave you the idea to then start doing this for other people?
Well, I'd stayed only for a few months at that point. I'd gone back to the United States with this. It was successful. I went back to work, but during the period I was back in the United States, I was corresponding with somebody here, a young girl. So I came back again that summer. Some people had seen the work that I had done for my family, because whenever I spoke with anybody about it, I showed them this genealogy that went back to sometime in the 1700s, 1713, 1718. And they said, wow, can you do that for us? Because at the time, these records were not available through any other source. You had to literally come here or find somebody here. So it kind of became a little bit of a niche for us. I came back with the idea that we would start doing this research for people. And the first one I can remember, I had to go back to Slovakia, and I was hitchhiking. I took a wild bus ride from Levoča into the mountains, and I thought, I'm going into a different country. I didn't, you know, really know what I was getting myself into. But when I got to the office there, the woman in this tiki potok spoke perfect English, and it was really a surprise because it was a successful job, and the family was happy. So one thing led to another. After a few successes, I guess word started to get out, and from that point on, we really officially began to do this work.
Have you noticed that it's taken off in the last couple of years, ancestral tourism? Would you say that it is something that's getting more and more popular? I mean, obviously, your reputation is getting bigger and bigger, but would you say that just objectively, this is something that people are more and more interested in?
I don't know if I would say that. I think, in fact, that it was at its height in the late 90s. There was a huge interest in it because it was pent up. There were so many people who wanted to do it, this particular generation of people who were retired, who maybe at a younger age had wanted to come here. Some of them even had been here, but under the former regime, it was difficult for them to get anywhere. Now, at the late 90s to where we are now, the internet has really blossomed or exploded, literally, to the point where so much is available online. So I think that's had a big impact on the numbers we see of people interested.
Do you believe that maybe Americans coming to Europe to find their relatives have a very different attitude towards their relatives in the old country than, say, us Europeans have towards our relatives in America? Would you say that there's that sort of, not exactly inequality, but a very different attitude?
Frankly, no. For example, in the United States, genealogy is somewhat of a hobby. I refer to it occasionally as being a soft science, something that is not so strict. On this side of the pond, genealogy was studied, with the functional word here being was, as a science. It was a part of the philosophical faculty at Charles University for many years. There was a college of genealogy. Now that no longer exists, but there are some very fantastic resources from the 1920s and 30s that had been written concerning genealogies, many of them in German. But the idea that genealogy is something that's based on hard fact and people are very strict about it has to do with the use of genealogy in the past to prove some kind of claim towards either nobility or property, real property. In the United States, that's not so much the purpose. It's just to find your connectivity to the past.
A part of the job that you do is once you've done all this groundwork, introducing, say, a second, third generation immigrant to their family that remains here. Can you tell me a bit about one particular experience, say, that was particularly rewarding? I don't know, I'm sure you've had a few.
There is, on the part of many Americans, a presupposed notion that there might be some blue blood, there might be some connection to an event that they might have heard about when they were children. And in this respect, we did have one person who told us that they were certain that they were from the nobility. Well, we took them to the village. We had done the hard work of the record search and found exactly where they were from in the house. And when we took them there, they were sort of put off by it and said, no, there must be a mistake. This can't possibly be it. My uncles told us that we were from the nobility. And that was the first time we had heard that. And so we were kind of put off, but we said, well, in fact, the person inside the house is expecting your visit. They've welcomed you. Do you want to go ahead with it? And the woman from the United States graciously accepted, I think more out of being polite. When she was inside, the woman, she had a box filled with pictures and like old postcards. She's going through this box and she pulls one out, and the woman from the United States, her expression changed immediately. She reached into her purse and pulled out the same picture. So this kind of moment is precious because you know absolutely that there's a connection. That, well, now this woman from the United States then had this quandary. How was it that her uncles had lied? And so we had to further flush the story out that the uncles would sit around playing cards and talking about this when she was just a little girl. We were able to go to the next village over, and one of the more important resources that we use here are these village histories. In this case, we found a chronicle in the next village where the brothers or the uncles had lived. These two brothers had lived in a house and worked in a house that was a pub, a hospoda, and the name of the house was U Schlechta, or At the Nobility.